Welcome to episode 520 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Guther, and this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games, sometimes podcasts, sometimes audiobooks, digital media.
Digital media, indeed. Pretty light on the games this week, so I think that's going to make a lot of people happy. Tons and tons and tons of video news.
Indeed, indeed. So normally, right now, we would be talking about the feedback that we have, but we don't have any feedback this week. So if you have feedback for us, or, you know, like we said, we'd love to hear how you've been doing things differently during these COVID times. You can reach out to us at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com.
Richard does this every single week. I only correct him sometimes. Maybe people are trying to send us feedback, but they're sending it to entertainment20, which is what you keep saying, even though it's entertainment20.
Oh, come on.
At thedigitalmediazone.com.
Okay, Art, that's fine, but when you introduce the show, do you introduce it as Welcome to Entertainment 2.0?
Well, no.
You don't.
No,
I don't. Because we don't call it that.
But the email address is 20.
All right. I have a task for Josh. Create an alias.
To make an alias? Listen, there aren't many things that I can give you grief over. I'm not going to scrap them. All right. So instead, since we don't have feedback and so that I can get back in your good graces, let's move on with the show. And we're going to start with everything we know, everything you need to know about HBO Max, because I think it's arrived, right?
It's here. It is here. And like, unbeknownst to me, I have it.
Of course you have it. Why wouldn't you have it?
I didn't expect to have it. And this is the problem. I think people are so confused by who gets it and who doesn't. And it's not an easy thing to figure out, because who gets it and who doesn't, meaning automatically, is really dependent on what deals AT&T has, or Warner or HBO, has done with the different providers or the different companies or the different streaming platforms. So, you know, we talked about how it's $15 a month. It's the same price as HBO Now or HBO Go, but it's very possible that you could get it for free. And as an example, if you pay directly for HBO Now to HBO, in other words, you went to the HBO Now website and you signed up for it there and you pay for it there, then you get this. You get upgraded automatically to HBO Max. You can just go and sign up. Now, I haven't subscribe to HBO Now in a while, so I don't know how they're notifying you of that, but I assume there's some sort of banner or notification to let you know that. Regardless, just go to the HBOMax.com site and sign in, and you'll be able to sign in with your HBO Now credentials, and it'll just upgrade you to the new account. If your partners, or if you use one of their partners, and their partners include things like Apple TV and others, you're going to be able to get access to it without having to pay any more for it if you already subscribe to HBO through them, through HBO Now or HBO through them. And that includes stuff like Apple or Google. Apple and Google, in particular, made it crazy easy. If you have the HBO Now app or the HBO app from them on your platform, it just got replaced automatically with the HBO Max app. Frankly, that's probably the easiest. That
right.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, for sure. That is the best user experience.
Yeah. Now, if you pay for HBO through some providers, and that could include your cable provider like Charter or Cox or Verizon and Fios or Comcast, then you get access to HBO Max. You wouldn't necessarily know that, but you do. So you can sign in with your subscriber credentials the way that you normally would to your HBO Go app. And you just have to go through a one-time process of creating your account. I didn't realize, but I should have realized this, AT&T, because they own it, AT&T Wireless, which I have, and that's how I have my HBO, I get HBO Max through them automatically. So that's pretty cool. I thought I was going to have to upgrade my wireless service because they added a new level of wireless service to be able to include HBO Max. But because I'm already getting HBO through them, then I already get HBO Max. It's just too confusing. Now, if you don't get it and you want to pay for it or you want to try it out, they have a 7-day trial. So that's pretty standard. Most of the different services offer that. Nothing special. I would have thought, hoped, believed maybe that at launch they might do something a little bit longer, especially during, say it with me, these trying times, that they might try and do something like 15 days or 30 days, but it's just a 7-day standard trial. I don't think you have this, do you?
I do not.
Okay. Well, so we can't really talk too much about it together, but I tried it out. The app is way better than the old HBO Now and HBO Go apps, which only had to be the case. Like, there's no way they could have made it worse.
They could have let Vudu build the app.
What? Or the people who made the Hulu app. Yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. But yeah, it's much easier to navigate. It has lots of standard ways of organizing content with tiles and rows and different sections on the homepage. They have one nice little area where they have hubs that take you to like all of the stuff from HBO or all of the stuff from DC or all of the stuff from Looney Tunes. And one of the things that I love is they have everything from Studio Ghibli. And I'm a big, huge fan of that stuff. So I'm pretty impressed with it so far. The only thing that I don't like is that in the TV experience, they continue to use that ridiculous, stupid, makes no sense, nobody else uses it, collection of boxes icon to bring up a browse menu. And you have to move your cursor all the way up and over to the top left to get to that icon to display the browse menu. And that lets you see all the movies, all the series. You select which thing you want to look at. So, yeah, it's good. I'm happy about it. If you're on Roku or Fire TV, you don't get it because they don't have the deals in place yet. So that kind of sucks. Also, if you're on Apple TV Generation 2 or 3, you don't get any of it because all the HBO stuff is now just gone from the old Apple TVs. We talked about that a while ago, that they were going to be deprecating those apps. Now, HBO Now, HBO Go, HBO Max was never there, but they're just not available on the second and third gen. Those are the shorter stack Apple TVs.
Cool. Wow. That was a lot. But when you make a service this confusing, it takes a while to explain it all.
It is. And we'll have a link in our show notes to CNET's incredibly complete article about everything that is in this. I don't think I've ever seen such a long article from CNET before, even in like a product review.
Wow. That's crazy. It shouldn't require that.
Yeah, well, they go into a lot, like what's on it and all that sort of stuff. But, yep.
All right. Well, in the 2 weeks since we've been gone, we both got to try out the TiVo Stream 4K. I did end up ordering one. We had recorded it on a Tuesday, and you still didn't have yours after ordering it like almost a week earlier.
Right.
And I had joked, I should order one tonight and see if I get it before you.
Right.
If I would have ordered it that night, I think I would have gotten it before you.
Oh, but you absolutely would have, because mine didn't come until like the following Monday or something like that.
Yeah, I ordered on the following Saturday, and I think I got it the next Tuesday. So I got mine pretty fast. But yeah. Now we both have ours, so that's good. We've both had a chance to hook them up and play around with them. And I went ahead and I decided when I went to hook it up this weekend that I was just going to record a video of what the initial setup experience is like and what to expect if you're thinking of getting one of these.
I'm so glad you did that, because as soon as I plugged it in and I saw the intro screen, I thought, oh, it'd be really cool if I could record this, but I have no way of doing that.
I got you covered, Richard.
Yep.
That's what I'm here for. So where do we even start with this thing? So it's absolutely an Android TV box through and through. We had wondered if you would even be able to do the Android TV type stuff on it. You absolutely can.
Yeah.
But they want to guide you into their TiVo Stream app. So,
they do.
So the setup of this is very much mixed between, okay, I'm going to do a firmware update. Now I'm going to do all of the typical Android TV setup stuff, you know, logging into the Google account and that sort of stuff.
Also, I have to say, you did it the hard way. You went in by signing in manually instead of letting your Android device kind of authenticate you and bring over your wireless information and all right. that stuff. I pulled out my Galaxy Tab and used it to authenticate. And wow, did that make the process much, much easier. Those first probably 5 or 6 minutes of time that you spent just with that initial Android TV setup was already done for me.
Right. Well, and I thought about just pulling out. I mean, my phone was sitting right next to me. I could have done it with my Pixel 3, but there are a whole lot of, you know, Apple households out there who have Apple, you know, iPhones
right.
that maybe want to jump on board with this. And I wanted them to be able to see what that experience would be like. So,
yep.
Yeah, I did it the slow way. And I actually cut that down. You know, there were places where I was typing in passwords and stuff like that, where I obviously did not keep that in the video. So, it was a little bit long. Once you get past all of the traditional Chromecast stuff, then you start getting into the TiVo goodness, I guess. And I think that's where we can really start to talk about this, because then it wants to start asking you, you know, what types of shows do you like? Which that whole thing just seemed kind of weird, because they would show two shows like The Walking Dead and Grey's Anatomy, and you only get to pick one. And there were like five screens of that type of stuff.
Yeah, well, I think you could do five, and then they gave you the option to do more, and you did more. I did
right.
too. Because I'm thinking, come on, there's got to be something in here that I watch. And that was part of the problem for me, is that of the options that they provided, it's like, yeah, neither one of these is something that I want to base its recommendations on.
Right.
And clearly that's what it's going to be doing with these things.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's got to have something to base it on. So it makes sense, but maybe they could have just at least made it a little bit more obvious that if you hate both of these shows, just click next. You don't actually have to pick one of these.
Right. And there is a button that says skip, but that process was weird. It's very similar to when you sign into Apple Music for the first time or Spotify mm-hmm. for the first time. You're asked to select preferences and favorite artists and stuff like that.
Right, right. So once you've done that, then it says, we want to fill up your My Shows section. You don't even really know what My Shows is at this point, but it gives you a huge long list of shows by category. So first it says, select some comedies that you might want to add. And it is a huge list that scrolls on forever, I think. Pick those, then it allows you to pick some dramas, then it allows you to pick sports. And sports is weird. Like, I don't really think of sports as TV shows. There wasn't much under sports that I even cared about.
Right. And what's interesting about this is, and I think that you interpreted this the way that I am concerned that most consumers will interpret it. It's not that they're asking you, oh, and of these very specific shows, what do you prefer? They're actually asking you, and they don't make this clear at all, to add them to your favorites. So
right.
If you selected something there, then that meant that, okay, this is going to be on our My Shows screen for you, which mm-hmm. shows you the stuff that you want to get to quickly. And right. I think they need to rework how they ask that, because that was not at all obvious to me when I first saw it.
It wasn't, but it also wasn't a big deal to remove anything that I didn't want in there later.
Sure, but why have to do that? Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I guess. You know, I do think I know the answer for that, because finding the shows that you might want to add in there might not be all that easy to do later on.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah. So once you go through that, that's pretty much it for the TiVo setup experience. Now you're into the device. You get to use your beautiful little sort of mini TiVo remote, and pressing that TiVo button on the remote now brings you straight into this TiVo stream app. And this is the secret sauce of the whole device. It is this app. The rest of it is just an Android TV box, and there's nothing special, at least in a positive way, about this as an Android TV box compared to any other Android TV box. Right?
Yes, that is absolutely right, including the buttons on the remote.
Right. Yeah. The one possible exception to that, and I haven't gone digging to find out yet, is because it's Android TV, it works as a Chromecast device. This is a 4K streamer. Does it Chromecast in 4K?
Mm.
I don't know. And right now, this thing is $50. A Chromecast Ultra, which is what you would need if you want to buy a device straight from Google that does Chromecast in 4K, I believe those are $70 or maybe even $80.
Well, it's going to be $70 at the end of the week anyway. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, okay. If you need a Chromecast device and maybe you have the ability to get one that also has all these apps on it and is an actual Android TV device.
Yeah.
And it does 4K. So mm-hmm. It would be curious to find out if it does 4K casting.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess basically most of the rest of our conversation here can focus on the TiVo stream app itself. So it is in its essence trying to combine and aggregate from your most frequently used services. So it's not every service in the world, but it's most of the big ones. It's got Netflix, Hulu, HBO, Disney Plus. Maybe I should have wrote these down. Showtime is not in there.
It does not have Showtime. It
has, even though they
HBO
have the app.
Now, it did not get HBO Max today, interestingly enough. That's probably something that the TiVo people are cursing about, because their timing just is terrible with this launch, right? Because they're going with their big splash launch at the end of this week. They, TiVo, at their normal price, available to the public through normal retail channels. And unfortunately, it's not going to be there with HBO Max. But it does not include Vudu, which was one of the stations that they showed initially when they showed it to us at CES. It does include Tubi, curiously. Like, I didn't think that was a big enough deal that would be included on that, but apparently it is.
Oh, Amazon Prime, we didn't mention that.
Right, Amazon Prime. And during the setup, you just kind of glossed over this, and I looked at it and glanced and said, huh, what's that about? They have both Prime and Prime Video. What?
Yeah.
What? I don't understand.
I'm still trying to figure that
out. What does that mean?
Yeah, because what I assumed that meant was one of them is for the part of Amazon Prime Video where you have to pay for things. And one of them was for the free streaming stuff that you get for having Amazon Prime.
You mean to tell me that the Amazon Video... So this is just going to make me a little bit insane here. Have they actually branded their whole video service, whether you pay for the video content or not, Prime Video? Even though inside that, there are specific things for Prime customers? That's insane!
I don't think that they did. That's the thing. Like, this was the first time that I can think of where I've seen shows or like the pay for content being listed as Prime Video. And it's weird because Prime was in both of them. It was just Prime or Prime Video.
Yeah.
It feels like TiVo messed this up, not Amazon.
I don't know. And if you go and actually look through the content that's available, the only thing that ever comes up is Prime Video. Like, that's, in other words, like, this is offered by Netflix, Amazon, CBS, whatever. The Amazon title, it just always says Prime Video.
I saw plenty that just said Prime.
No way.
Yeah. Yep. And I thought I had it figured out, and then it seemed like it went the opposite direction. So I can't explain it right now, and it's not worth trying to figure out at this point. But
yeah. Well, that's not on TiVo. Or maybe it is. I don't know. But yeah. So you went through the setup. You started poking through the different sections. And one of the things that I noticed when I did that is that even though it is TiVo-like, like it definitely has TiVo, like a TiVo feel to it. It isn't the TiVo experience that you're used to on your TiVo box. It is a different, they might say, newer, refreshed experience.
I'm not as long term of a TiVo user as you are, but I didn't feel much of a connection to TiVo at all from this experience.
Oh, wow.
And I don't necessarily mean that in a bad way, because I still think the app itself was pretty good, but it didn't feel like using my TiVo Bolt.
Which is honestly your primary way of getting like over the air TV, right?
Right. But this is kind of a good thing, because I don't think that the app experience on the TiVo Bolt is very good.
Oh, right. No, it's absolutely not good. Right. No, I agree with you. I agree with you there. But it is different in the way the guide works. It is different in the way that it makes recommendations. It's different in the way that you get to apps inherently, because the content drives your navigation, not the apps. Yeah. And that is what they're betting on. Like, their secret sauce is that they're going to be able to surface the content that you care about the most, not just by you adding it to your My Shows, but also because they can monitor what you're watching and throw that into their recommendation engine that they're just short of calling, but not calling AI, and then come up with other shows that you'll probably like because of your history across all of those services.
Yeah. So just a couple more quick things so that we can move on from this. We're going to keep playing with it and see how it stacks up and how those recommendations and all that stuff really works out in day-to-day usage. But there are a couple of things that I wanted to let everybody know about that might seem weird, and I've got one here that's just a quick tip. The first one is the main button that they want you to be using on your remote is the TiVo button, which always launches that app. But it is still an Android TV box, so you might want to go back to the home screen occasionally. The home screen button on the remote is a circle. It's just a circle. Like, that kind of makes sense if you're really like an Android fanatic. Like, not even just an Android user, but an Android fanatic would know that on their Android phone, the circle icon is the middle one that brings up the home screen.
Oh, geez, I didn't even make that connection.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's the home screen button. So that's important to know. Because this is an Android TV, it has Google Assistant, and that means that it's got a microphone built into the remote, which is cool. And a lot of times I'm like, eh, who cares? No, actually, this can be really cool because we mentioned a little bit earlier, it can be kind of hard to find the shows that you want to add to My Shows. I found a really easy way of doing it. Use the Google Assistant.
When it works.
I never had any problems with it.
Oh, I totally had problems with it where it wasn't able to find a show that is absolutely on one of the services that I'm subscribed to right now. That happened multiple times.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't search for many, but every time I hit the Google Assistant button on the remote, said the name of the show, the little Google Assistant-y thing pops up at the bottom, and if you just press up once, there's a button to say add to My Shows. And I thought that was a really, really awesome way of doing that.
Yeah, it's nice. I like that you can add it to your shows. I like that you can find out more about the show basically through a bunch of different services. Like if the show is on some different services, it's going to let you know where. And that includes. And this is really interesting because this is where I think things get muddy and it's going to be confusing for the potential audience that they're trying to target. Your Google Assistant search can search for things that are on services that are not included in TiVo Stream. That includes even Plex. So it's possible that you could get a search result for a show or a movie that is available through some service that isn't TiVo Stream. You go up, you click the thing to go into the movie, you're on the page, okay, I can figure out how to play it from here. Then you get out of there, now you're in Android TV.
Hmm.
So I think that that's going to be really confusing. They've used, I mean, this is the Google Assistant in
right.
all of its glory. It works exactly the way it would on any Android TV device. Meaning you can ask it anything that you can ask a Google Assistant while you're watching TV or while you're looking for TV content to watch, and it'll display and read out the answer in your Google Assistant voice that you've selected as well. So, I mean, it's slick the way that it works, but the fact that it is different and separate from the TiVo, but works on top of the TiVo thing, I think is going to be confusing for people. And I'm a little bit worried about that. Like I said, I also had the problem where I would search for a show and I'd even type it in because I thought maybe, okay, well, I couldn't understand and it just couldn't find it. So I had to go like find it in the app. And then once I'm in the app, there isn't a way to show it, like add it to My Shows. So there's some work that has to be done there. On the plus side, you press that button and you let it go. It's the only voice remote I've ever had that works that way. You press the button, you let it go, and then you can talk to it. You don't have to hold it the entire time you're talking to it.
Like a CB radio?
Which is how most voice remotes work.
Right. Breaker 19, I want to watch some TV.
I know. I thought it was crazy. Now, I don't know. I had some other problems with it. Did you have other problems that are worth talking about? Because I know it's early days. It's right out of the gate. It's brand new. It's not really the public release yet. But we heard that there were problems. One of our listeners wrote in and said, yikes. And I think I understand what he was talking about.
So I did have one major problem, but before we get to that, I want to make one more correction to the video that I posted in case anybody's watched it, but still hasn't purchased a TiVo of their own yet. So in that video, I said, okay, so My Shows will take me to a show, but I can't find specific seasons and episodes and all that stuff.
Oh my God. And I'm looking at the word episodes right above your cursor the whole time you were talking about that.
I know. I'm a dope. It was right above the cursor. Yeah. But there's so much stuff going on those screens right. that it's kind of hard to see. So, yes, you absolutely can go to Homeland, go to episodes, see 7 seasons, I think is what it shows, because they don't have the Showtime app. And see every season broken down with every single episode broken down in it, and then, you know, take that off to Hulu or whatever. So that is in there, even though I stupidly couldn't see it while I was recording the video.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really funny. I thought that was funny because I'm like, dude, it's right there. Now, it is a little bit unintuitive that you would go up to select an option as opposed to going down or right or something like that. But Yeah. All right. Well, so let's talk about things that have been problems. A number of things for me. Some of it is just preference. Some of it is actual problems. Like, you and I both had the problem where the Android TV home screen just goes away. It's black. Can't see anything. You can get to it. Press circle button. Get to black. You know, I'm like, what is going on? I could press the TiVo button. Get back into TiVo stream. Press the circle. It's black. I figured out eventually that if I press and held the circle, then I got the screen that shows the apps that you have installed, which is an Android TV screen. I forget what they call that, but that's nice. It lets me get to other stuff. But in the meantime, I have something that isn't displaying on my TV and I have no idea why. And the only way to fix it is to reboot the device. And you know how you do that with something that's behind your television or entertainment center? You have to go back and reach behind the television or entertainment center and pull the plug out and then put it back in. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. There's no power button for this thing.
Yeah. No power. Because, of course, you probably wouldn't think that you would need it. And devices like this typically wouldn't have a power button. But just like my Apple TV that I have on a smart plug for this very reason, you may want to do that with this, too. I also found that to use the remote's own ability to turn everything on for you, you have to use CEC. So HDMI CEC is how it's passing through the signal to turn on your entertainment center, your AVR, if you have one, your receiver, your TV, and Apple TV has very, very aggressive CEC management. Even when you turn it off, even when you say, I don't want it to control my other things, your other CEC things are going to detect that you have an Apple TV and try and display the Apple TV. So I have the problem where every time I turn this on, I turn it on, and then it switches to my Apple TV, and then it switches back to the new TiVo device. And that's just really problematic. And it's not always, it's not consistent. So I can't blame this on TiVo necessarily, but CEC, because so few vendors actually use it well and implement it properly, can be problematic.
Yeah. I haven't played with the CEC stuff at all because I've still got it hooked up to my video capture device so that I can record videos.
Yep. That makes sense. Now, the other thing that I've noticed, everything else that I have problems with this device is about the live TV experience. I subscribed to Sling TV so that I could see if this could be a viable alternative to the cable that I've been holding on to with my cold, refusing to die hands. And I'm not really all that excited about it. And this probably has less to do with TiVo, although there are some improvements that TiVo could make, and more to do with Sling TV itself. So first off, it puts everything in one guide. It combines the TiVo Plus stuff and your subscribed TV channels and puts them all in their TiVo guide. I like that. I think that's great. Their TV guide is pretty responsive and it works the way you would expect it to work. It can't be filtered by like removing channels you don't care about. You can either have, I think I think it doesn't even let you show, for example, just the favorite Sling channels that you've selected in Sling TV. So it's basically everything. And as part of my introductory service, I took advantage of a, like, I think it was a $25. No, it wasn't that. It was part of my first month of service. I get Showtime and Epics and Stars for free for the first month. And they're all at the front of the guide. The premiums are at the front of the guide instead of at the end of the Sling channels for some reason. So when you first go to the guide, you have to get through all that and then finally get to your regular channels. And that happens every time you reboot, basically, from what I can tell. So you find your channels that you want, and then, and you, like I said, you can't filter them down, which is frustrating. You go into your channels, and some can be recorded and some can't. And some can be paused and some can't. That one in particular really gets me. Now, on one hand, I think it's probably a good thing that I can't rewind or pause CNN. I just have to watch what's live and that's it. And I can't go back. And it's probably a good thing right now.
For your mental health. Yeah.
Right. Right. On the other hand, I don't like that it's inconsistent between channels. Some, and, you know, how do I explain that to Edward? Well, I've tried, and he's like, that's stupid. Get rid of it. So,
it is stupid. And that's not a new thing here with Sling TV. That's how it's always worked. And it's how most of these online streaming TV services work.
Yeah, I know, because deals. Yep. Yep. All right. Well, we've talked this to death. We wanted to give our experiences. Any closing thoughts before we move on? Because we have a bunch of other stuff to hit.
Yeah. So, I mean, we ended with a lot of negative things, but I actually think this is a really nice box. Like, I think that TiVo Stream app is really good. I think Android TV in general is a really nice experience and has tons of apps and features. For $50, definitely. For $70, yeah, I still think I would pick this over a Roku. I think I'd pick this over an Amazon Fire. Like, I think that Android TV is good, and that TiVo Stream app does make things a lot better. It has a lot to go. Now, I will say, all of that is kind of couched by the idea that they're going to fix that problem with the home screen. They have to fix that, like, now. If they get that fixed, yes, I would absolutely recommend this to just about anybody.
Yeah, that's a weird bug that is just, I mean, that's an Android TV problem. And it's, I believe, up to the OEM, in this case TiVo, to make the Android software work properly on the device that they've, you know, purchased and that they're using. But they have some issue that they need to deal with there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will definitely talk about this more, I'm sure, as we play with this more and use it more. I'm trying to make it my primary device when I don't want to watch Apple TV. And therein lies my other problem, is there's no Android app for Apple TV yet.
Right. So, right. Yeah. Well, so the best thing about the TiVo Stream app and the TiVo Stream 4K is its ability to aggregate content across streaming services. Maybe you don't want this device, and maybe this new service and app from a company I've never even heard of before could be that solution. It's from a company called Screen Hits, and the new service and app is called Screen Hits TV. And it's just that. It is an app that aggregates a bunch of these services, including a lot of free ones and a lot of the paid ones. It's an app that has to be available on all of your devices. I can't even tell you for sure what devices they're planning to have this on, because of the way that this press release or whatever was written. It seems like it was written by someone who doesn't use this stuff or doesn't, like, I don't know. Because here's what it says. The app is available on Fire TV. Fire TV what? I don't know. The Apple Store. What do you mean the Apple Store? Does that mean it's on iOS and tvOS and it's on iPad? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's on Google Chrome. Oh, okay, so I can use a web browser then? It's on Android? Makes sense. What about Android TV? Don't know. And then the last one says, and for the desktop. What do you have a Windows and a Mac app, or do you really just mean open it up in Chrome?
Yeah, this is such a weird article. It seems like this is someone, and I don't mean to like bash on the writer here, but this just reads like a tech article written by someone who, I don't know, normally does lifestyle. Right? Like they just don't understand the technology that they had to write about.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. But if you go to the Screen Hits TV website, it gives way less information. It does.
Well, there's that.
It does talk about some of the services, and HBO Max is actually listed along with Disney Plus, Stars, Amazon Prime, and Netflix. But so like let's give it a huge benefit of the doubt that it's got most of the services you care about, that the app will be available on most of the devices you care about. It costs money. It's $1.99 a month, which I'm sure that Richard, I'm so tired of subscriptions, Gunther, is just waiting to scream about that.
You know, but what?
$2 a month isn't bad for this.
Yeah, I'm not going to scream about that because this is a problem. They are solving a real problem here. This is not Absolutely. Someone coming out with something that, oh, maybe someday this thing we solved will attach itself to a problem that doesn't exist yet. No, this is a real problem. What service mm-hmm. do I go to watch a show? That is why we like the concept of the TiVo stream. That is why many of these other boxes like the Roku and Apple TV are coming up with their own aggregation services to help you not just find stuff, but also monitor and track where are you in what you're watching. That's a really valuable service. And I think it's worth paying for if someone can do it right.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. So again, it's called Screen Hits TV. We've got a link in the show notes if you want to check it out. I have no idea when this thing is launching. So we'll try and keep an eye out for it because it does sound really promising.
It does indeed. All right. Well, one other thing that we wanted to follow up on was that HD Home Run Quattro 4K Kickstarter that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. It's been about a month. We were surprised that it did as well as it did. It was, I think, 3 times higher than their initial ask when we spoke about it. And that was, about 4 weeks ago.
Because they were initially asking for, was it $50,000?
$50,000. Yeah. They raised
kind of beat that.
Over $600,000. Like well over $500,000 on this. Wow.
Yeah. That just blew my mind.
All for ATSC3 stuff that just really isn't there yet. But But hey, I think this is awesome. Congratulations to them. I do have one beef with this. And that's that at the last minute, you know that term where you're stuffing unrelated stuff into a bill? Like, you know, some senator wants something for his constituents, or some representative says that she's not agreeing to this unless it has X, Y, or Z that has mm-hmm. nothing to do with the bill. It's a rider. They put a rider on this at the last minute by adding an extra goal. And if they hit this extra goal, then they said they would also build an app for HD Home Run for the Apple TV. It's not going to work with the Quattro 4K, because it's not going to be ATSC 3.0 compatible, but that's an added goal to this Kickstarter for some reason. Come on. What was that about?
Yeah, I'm not even really sure how to guess at that. I mean, like, if it were me, I think I would have, you know, as an HD Home Run employee or executive or whatever, maybe I would have been thinking, oh my gosh, like, money is just pouring in. Way more money is pouring in than we ever expected. What are we going to do here? I don't know. Maybe we can convince people to send a little bit more money in so we can fund this thing that we've been putting on the back burner for a long time.
Well, and that's my other beef with this, is that for years we've been asking them, when are we going to get an Apple TV app? And their answer is, oh, well, there is one already. Use Channels. So, yeah, I this just seemed a little bit, this left a bad taste in my mouth. Anyway, great on them for the campaign. Kind of unrelated, they also had some news come out that they are updating the UI design on their regular HD Home Run app. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. They're getting rid of the green. It's going to be a lot more contemporary. It's just going to be slick and kind of like dark mode. I don't think a lot is changing. I think they're just predominantly getting rid of the green. They still have some other, what I think to be questionable or sloppy UI things going on in the screens that I've seen, but it's a much needed improvement. All right. Well, let's move on. I wrote an article about a week ago now, I think it was, that if you have the Amex Platinum card, and this is the personal card from them, not the business card, that you are going to get or are already getting a $20 a month credit on any of over two dozen different streaming services that you pay for with that credit card. And I found out about this because suddenly I saw that there was a $7.95 credit on my bill for my Amazon Music. I'm like, well, why is that getting credited? And I did some research, and it turns out that they will credit as many services as you have up to $20 a month till the end of the year.
That's so cool.
It is cool. Now, you pay a lot for an Amex Platinum card, and the benefits that you get are normally for travel. Well, guess what people aren't doing a lot of right now?
Right.
I subscribe to it because I get access to airline clubs. I get like $100 off of nickel and dime charges from whatever my preferred airline is. I get more than what I pay into it in benefits out of it every year, but I'm not able to take advantage of them. So this is a really nice way of helping customers out during these trying times.
How many times are you going to say that this episode? Going to kick you off.
So I thought this was pretty cool. And what I would suggest is that if you have an Amex Platinum and you're not already charging these services to that card, you should consider moving them to the card.
Yeah. Yeah, you absolutely should. Yeah, this is cool. All right, one last thing in our video news to talk about. And really, this is going to be more for you also, because you're an Apple TV user. Hulu is starting to work on updating their UI. And
thank you.
And they're releasing the update on tvOS and Roku first. Everything else is going to get it over the next 2 months. Now, I've heard it described as being, you know, reorganizing things into horizontal collections that scroll left to right, and that they're doing some interesting things based on sizes of things. So maybe you'll have a strip of icons where they're all pretty small, some of them where they're medium, and some of them where it's basically the whole section is one show, and that they're using the sizes to both, you know, give you a little bit of a visual break in all of that endless scrolling, but also essentially the bigger the stuff, the more likely you probably are to watch it, or they're just trying to promote it to you for other reasons, like it's a Hulu original.
Right. Any change away from what they have now, I think, has to be an improvement. I don't know what they were thinking with this, like, one show per screen thing that they have going on right now. It's a horrible experience. It worked really well on touch devices. It was their attempt to have the same experience on touch and on 10 foot. And I don't know what they were thinking. I mean, I believe that I actually know someone who used to work at the agency that created that experience. And I didn't like it at the time. I still don't like it. I never grew into it. I'm really happy that they're changing it. Their web experience is great. If they could just make it like their web experience or their Windows app experience, that alone would make it way better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, so you haven't gotten a chance to play with the new version yet?
I have not.
Okay. Well, we will look forward to hearing from you on a future episode about it then, because I have a feeling it's going to be a while before I get it on my Android TV devices, or maybe my Xbox.
And I have a feeling that I'm probably going to have some opinions about it.
Yeah, you are definitely going to have opinions about it.
All right, let's move on to audio. We have one quick audio story, and this is fairly simple. Google Podcasts, so we're talking about a podcast app, has a 2.0 version out now for iOS. And there are a couple nice new features in this, one of which is that it adds CarPlay support. So if one of the reasons that you've been holding back on Google Podcasts and that you've maybe wanted to use it because you use Google Podcasts on Android devices is that you have CarPlay and you couldn't use it with CarPlay, well, now you can. If another one of the reasons that you might have held back on Google Podcasts was that it didn't actually allow you to automatically download subscribed episodes and queue them up to listen to them, it does that now too.
Shocking. Like, that is a revolutionary feature to a podcast app.
I know. So anyway, good improvements. Clearly, Google Podcasts 1.0 probably should have followed the old model and just had a beta flag on it for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right. One very quick gaming story, and that's just that Microsoft announced their Games with Gold for June. Real quick, before you get to the June games, there are still some leftovers from May. For a couple more days, you can get Viva Rally 4 on Xbox One, and until June 15th, you can get Warhammer 40,000 Inquisitor Martyr. Still hate that title. Also on Xbox One. Your games for June, all month long on Xbox One, Shantae and the Pirate's Curse, yet another game in this Shantae's 2D action game. June 16th to July 15th, also on Xbox One, Coffee Talk. This looks like a Nintendo, it's probably Super Nintendo era game. That's the graphical style here. You're a barista, and I think all you're really doing is making drinks for people and stuff, but it's really more of a story game as you're listening to the patrons of the coffee shop talk about their lives. It actually sounds pretty interesting, and the reviews are pretty good, so I might check this one out since it's free. The first half of the month for Xbox 360, you're going to get Destroy All Humans. I never played this game, but it's apparently really, really good. Interesting that they're making it free, because later this summer, they're releasing a remaster of this game that you would have to pay for. So, I don't know, play the free one, and then maybe don't have to buy the remastered one. I don't know. And then in the second half of the month, your other Xbox 360 game is Cinemora, I believe is how you would pronounce this. This is kind of an old school 2D, I don't know if it actually is crazy enough to be considered a bullet hell shooter, but definitely that style of shooter where you're a flying craft going on a 2D plane trying to shoot things. So that's what Cinemora is. And we don't know what the free PS Plus games are for June just yet. So we'll know next week. And that's it for our gaming news. So, Richard, let's get on to what's going on in our entertainment centers.
All right. Well, I spent a lot of time over the last 2 weeks bringing my Synology box that I talked about into play. I'm going to put that on hold for now because we're going long and I don't want to end up spending too much time on this. So we'll get back to that in our next episode. As far as stuff that I've been watching, I watched the most recent episodes of The Flash, so I'm up to date on that. And kind of along those lines, I'm really excited that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is starting up again. Probably what I'm going to be watching after we get off recording tonight. I watched another episode of Dolly Parton's Heartstrings, really enjoying that series on Netflix. I completed For All Mankind, first season on Apple TV Plus. Really, really liked that. If you're one of the people, one of the many people that I've heard said, oh yeah, I watched the first couple episodes, didn't get into it. Stay with it. It gets so good. It is just fantastic. And they take this idea of the alternate timeline that they create and they start changing up all these different things, you know, the butterfly effect and how dramatically that impacted our space program. It's really good. I highly recommend it. I finished watching the Disney Insider episodes that I mentioned last time. Those are just like 15-minute little blurbs about, I don't know, it's like three different behind-the-scenes things bundled together as a 15-minute show. And there are like five or six of them. So I watched all of those. Also, we finished all the available episodes of Grace and Frankie on Netflix. So we're now, I was wrong. It's not over. There's another season coming that isn't available yet. That'll be out next year. So we're looking forward to that. With all these things that I finished, I started some new stuff too. So I decided to go back to Treadstone. Josh, did you ever finish Treadstone?
I didn't. I had forgotten about it. And I'm curious about the very next word that you have in the show notes here.
Oh, yeah. So I decided that part of the reason that I wasn't enjoying Treadstone is that I was having trouble keeping up with it. It's kind of like Homeland. You need to pay attention.
Oh, yeah.
And when you and I first spoke of it, one of the things that we talked about was how they have actors who I still believe are clearly different people that look ridiculously similar.
Right.
So it's hard to keep everyone straight and like where you are and when you are in this storyline. So I ended up just deciding, all right, to get back into this, I'm going to start from the beginning. So I decided to start from episode one, and I had recorded episode one and two, I believe, for you, so that you could decide if you wanted to watch it or not after it had already started. Right. So I watched those, and then I went to look for it. And it's not available to watch anywhere unless you buy the episodes.
That stinks.
So I am now buying individual episodes on Apple TV so that I can get through the rest of the ones that I had already watched. And then I have the rest that I haven't watched yet on my DVR. So now that I'm paying attention, I'm enjoying it much more. And okay. I will let you know what I think as I go through. While I have Showtime for free from the subscription to the Sling TV that I talked about earlier, I decided that I would try and get through season 10, the most recent season of Shameless. So I started that. I also got back to Archer, which is now, I believe, on Netflix. When I started it, it was on Hulu. So I'm on season 6 of Archer. Watched a little bit more of SGN, some good news. Also, there was a special episode, brilliant episode of Mythic Quest on Apple TV Plus called Mythic Quest Quarantine. It was so good. I loved this show so much anyway, but just like all of these people that are doing these quarantine episodes with the multi-up view of people, they win. Mythic Quest won. It was so friggin' good. And then finally, there's a new series out on Hulu called The Great Asterisk. It is based upon the life of Catherine the Great. I'm watching this almost spitefully as Edward is watching Ekaterina, a Russian telling of Catherine the Great on Amazon Prime. I don't want to watch that because A, it's a historical drama, and B, it's subtitled. And I just, two counts against it together. I just can't do it. It's actually made in Russia, and he says it's fantastic. But there's this thing that instead is actually a comedy on Hulu about the life of Catherine the Great, great being asterisk because that's questionable. So, I'm enjoying it. It's entertaining. And then we watched a couple of movies. We watched The Iron Giant, an old favorite. Have you ever watched that? Have you ever seen that?
I don't think so.
Oh, it is so good. You should find it. Your kids would probably like it. Maybe I don't know if a big robot would scare your little one, but it's
probably not.
Such a great movie. Really, really good. And then I also watched, and let me set this up a little bit. So years ago, many years ago, maybe 20 some years ago, Disney came out with a movie musical called Newsies. I liked it. I thought it was really good. It has to be more than 20 years ago because it starred Christian Bale and he was like a teenager in it.
Yeah. I think this is like early 90s.
Yeah. I think this was like the second movie that he ever did. And I remember watching this movie and thinking that kid is going to go somewhere. Well, so he did. And meanwhile, Newsies kind of became a cult favorite among Disney fans. So Disney made a Broadway musical out of Newsies, and it played on Broadway for years. And by the way, Newsies is actually based on a true story about when news delivery kids went on strike because the papers kind of colluded to try and take some of the money away that the paper delivery kids were making. So now they've made a movie on Disney Plus of a performance of the Broadway musical. So I watched the movie of the performance on Broadway of the musical based on the TV or based on the movie Newsies that was based on a true life story. It was kind of like Inception.
Isn't this like what Disney's doing nowadays? Because now you've got High School Musical, the TV show, the movie,
it was kind of like that subtitles thing where they took Jack Sparrow and they put him in the ride Pirates of the Caribbean. The movie that was based anyway. So yeah. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, that's that. And then today, of course, I watched pretty much everything having to do with the Crew Dragon launch that did not happen today, unfortunately. It'll probably happen on Saturday. Everything went without a hitch. It was really cool, the different interviews and everything that NASA was doing, and just really exciting and energizing for space geeks like me. Also, added bonus, at some point in time, we're going to be able to play the song Take Off by Bob and Doug McKenzie. Because it's astronauts, Bob and Doug, taking off in the, I mean, come on. It's just perfect. Finally, I decided to try Pocket Casts. I'm kind of over the ugly of the Downcast apps that I use.
Mm.
And I don't like the idea of having to pay for a subscription. So I have decided that I am not going to use their desktop apps because I'd have to pay for the subscription for that. But
right.
I can listen to it over Sonos without subscribing. And that was kind of the straw that didn't break this back, but made it possible. Like, that's the thing that I'm like, well, I could listen to my office in Sonos. What I don't have there is time adjustment. I can't have it do like the automatic gap skipping and play faster and stuff like that. But so far, I am really liking the app experience. I'm really happy with it. Just like every other podcast app, though, oh my God, onboarding is just a nightmare.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter that you can bring the OPM whatever file over, because you have to mark as read or listened or whatever every episode that you've already listened to in the feed, which in the case of Grammar Girl, unfortunately, who produces evergreen content, was 600 and some episodes.
Oh, man. Wow.
Why can't any podcast app figure this out and fix it?
Yikes.
I don't understand. What do you use as your primary app?
I use Pocket Cast.
All right.
But I've been using it for like a year and a half, so I forgot about the onboarding experience.
Yeah. It's terrible. It's also an app that supports CarPlay, so I'll be able to use it in Edward's car. And of course, I can still use Bluetooth and just use the app in my car. So,
and Android Auto.
And Android Auto. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I use that anywhere.
Well, right.
Right. All right. That's a lot, but that was me. How about you? See, it's a good thing that we put the Synology stuff off.
Right. I've got a little bit more than usual. I watched a movie. I think I said during the last episode that I was going to watch this. Jen and I had a little at-home date of watching Ford versus Ferrari. It was every bit as good as I had hoped that it would be. But I mean, the Rotten Tomato score is in the 90s, I think. So I probably don't need to say this. But as I've been telling people about it, I'm telling them, yes, I loved it. But this movie was written for me. Like, I love sports car racing. The 24 Hours of Le Mans is my favorite race. The story of Ford bringing the GT40 to Le Mans is one of my favorite stories in racing. Like, it was custom written for me. So, like, they could add a subtitle to this. Ford versus Ferrari. The story Josh Pollard... The movie Josh Pollard will definitely watch. You know, like... It was really good, but it wasn't just me. Jen loved it too. So it's not just me. It's not just racing. So really, really good.
Cool.
For gaming, not a ton. Played some Call of Duty because Call of Duty is great. And also started playing The Last of Us. I don't think I mentioned this last time. So this is a PlayStation game, and it is, you know, one of those PlayStation games that's a single player story driven experience that's supposed to be really intense and really good. It's, you know, it won Game of the Year at a bazillion different news outlets and stuff when it came out a long time ago. It was a PlayStation 3 game. They remastered it for PlayStation 4. That's the version I'm playing. It's good. It's really good. I don't know if this is the right time to be playing this game or the wrong time to be playing this game. It is a pandemic driven apocalypse, but it's a pandemic that creates zombies. So, but a different kind of zombies that they call clickers. They're zombies that can't see. They basically see the way bats see, and I'm putting that in air quotes.
Like sonar through noise.
Yeah, exactly. And they make these terrible clicking noises that you will hear in your sleep if you play this game. But it's been really good. I'm not super far into it so far. I'm maybe only a quarter of the way through. But I've been waiting to play this until the sequel is about to come out, which it is. It comes out next month. So, you know, gonna keep plowing through that. That's it on the gaming side. On the audiobook side, I had finished the Dark Tower. I think it's the third book is called The Wastelands. I think it's book three. So while I was waiting for the next one, I decided let's pick up another book about pandemic fueled apocalypse and picked up The Stand. That book is 48 hours long. It's crazy how long it is. So I listened to a fair amount of it over the weekend and stuff, but I was at 38 hours left, I think. on Tuesday, I think it was, when the next book in the Dark Tower series became available to me through the library. So I was like, well, these take a while. The Stand is going to take me a million years to finish. Let's just return The Stand and pick up Wizard and Glass, the next book in the Dark Tower series. That series just continues to get more and more interesting. I'm really liking it a lot. So The Stand was also, as far as I'd gotten into it, was getting really good. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back to that. But gosh, like 48 hours for a book is crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Wow.
But it's really good.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's it for me. That's basically it for the show. If you want to get a hold of us, we're on Twitter at Richard Gunther, at Josh Pollard, at DigiMediaZone. We've also got that email address, entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. We also have another podcast that Richard likes to do called Home On, where he covers the latest smart home technology. Richard, you released an episode of Home On. Tell us about it.
Finally, right? So we've been talking about this for a long time because it's been on the burner for a while, and I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I was just wanted to do anything other than the normal stuff I'm supposed to be doing over the last couple of weeks. But we had the opportunity to speak with a bunch of great past guests to talk with them about stuff that they've been doing while they've been home. I spoke with Adam Mayorka from That's Not Funny, Jimmy Hawkins, one of our contributors, Dave McCabe, the host of Reset, Jennifer Patsantui, who I've had on the show in the past. She's a journalist who writes for Dwell and Wirecutter and a bunch of others. And of course, you may know the name Josh Pollard. I think
Never
he does
heard
podcasts.
Of him. Sounds stupid.
And everybody shared a different type of thing, like what they were working on. Jenny was reviewing some different things. Dave was troubleshooting. Jimmy had a brand new product that he had just written about that we've talked about. And Adam was basically shoring up stuff and trying to replace some of his products. So it was a really cool experience. And I think that people will enjoy it.
Yeah, it was fun to be on, even more fun to listen to. So it was a good episode.
Cool.
All right. Well, we normally do this show on Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, and you should come around that time normally, I guess. But tonight we tried to do it on Wednesday, not Tuesday, and it totally didn't work. So we're going to try again the next time. But and if you can join us, that would be a lot of fun. But it just didn't work out this time. So follow us on Twitter to know for sure when the live show is going to happen so that you can be a part of the very next episode, because that's going to do it for episode 520. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.